Item number one, please.
A resolution by Supervisors Biddle, Broderick, Dmitrievich, and Lipscomb, and Haas, authorizing the development of a process whereby designated representatives of authorized employee groups meet and confer with Milwaukee County management representatives on terms and conditions of employment and operational issues.
Thank you. Supervisor Biddle, good morning. Welcome to our committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. And I would like to say that it's been such a pleasure looking at these handsome faces on the Personnel Committee. I will miss you all greatly.
We have to compete against Mark, so that's pretty tough.
Despite me.
So basically, colleagues, this is a resolution initiating the process where we can direct staff to actually come up with a process similar to what the city of Milwaukee has in meet and confer. Basically, it gives employees a voice to talk to management about workplace issues, about service delivery issues, things that can actually make county government more efficient, and just boosting morale and giving employees who do great work for Milwaukee County an avenue to be heard. In no way is it supposed to be a quasi-collective bargaining agreement. In no way is it supposed to be an avenue to discuss things that should be talked about in other venues as far as wages and benefits, but just a way that to have communication between the management and the employee side. And I know there are some folks in the back who are intimate with the City of Milwaukee's process that can tell, they just had their first meet and confer meeting, which could probably give you guys more information about what it actually entails to take some of the, minds or hazards out of the ideology of what this is. So, to pretty much, if anybody wants to come up and talk some more about how that first meeting went, who you guys actually met with, and things of that nature, that would be good.
Good morning. Any questions for the author? Or I will ask Ms. Penny Secor to come up. Okay, after. Please sit down. Thank you. Welcome to our committee.
Thank you. Penny Secor, SC District Council 48, Chairperson, Supervisors. One of the things that I am on the meet and confer committee for the City of Milwaukee, their contract expired at the end of December, and we've already had our first meet and confer committee meeting. And what we did at this committee meeting is basically management put in agenda items, we put in agenda items, and then we went through the agenda as a committee. There were representatives from the city, there were all the local presidents, and we sat down and figured out, okay, first off, we're working on how is this going to work. And we have set up that we're going to have certain timelines that we're going to meet, and we're also going to drill it down and have it at departmental level. Because what had been happening is because of Act 10, a lot of the departments are changing some of their policies, but we've had no forum in which to talk about those policies or even talk about them with the employees. Because if you're looking at a DPW, when you have all different shifts in a water department, there's no way you can have like a meeting with all your employees, like a staff meeting or something like that. And for years, and along with the county, the union has been a conduit for information for the employees. And what this meet and confer committee does is that we set that up and we talk about the issues that are of interest to both places. Now, there's no binding arbitration with it. There is no demand that at the end, if we're in disagreement, something's going to be stopped or delayed or laid over. No, that's the way it is. But there's input in it. We have a chance to talk to the employees and say, hey, listen, we just had a meet and confer, and the water department is now going to be changing some of their attendance policies. We have two different things that they're looking at. How can we solve it? Or this year there wasn't a lot of snow, so they didn't have a lot of problems with having people come in to plow and stuff like that. But we know we are next winter, so we need to work on that. And these are the things that this meet and confer does. What it is a conduit to have a communication. Now, and I'll tell you, and you guys are all very well aware of all the lawsuits that are out there. And a lot of those lawsuits probably could have either been made smaller or mitigated in some way if we had a conduit for meet and confer. We need to be able to sit down and talk about issues So we know where you're coming from, and you know where we're coming from in things that matter to our employees. Because everything that we put before you is because employees have come to us. And it's not good right now, and they need to have an area where they can say, okay, in my department, this is happening. How can we address it? I don't want to file a grievance. I just want to get it taken care of. So, and that's what's happening. And I really think that this would be a wonderful forum for us to use here at the company.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the reason why this is important is because since I've been here in my less than 1 year, 10 years, that I've seen many changes to the, you know, the dissolution of collective bargaining rights, the increase in health care and pensions, and, you know, previously we had furlough days, and we had just had layoffs in the deputy sheriffs, and I'm pretty sure we're going to hear some more insightful things happen at the House of Corrections with the sheriff's staff and his employees. I mean, I think that it's a good olive branch to our employees who have done great work, who have contributed more of themselves to the job for less, and that it would just provide a positive avenue and let them know that we do care about what they think and want them to have a true stake in their jobs and know that you know, we'll be responsive to their needs and concerns. So with that being said, I'll take any questions, and I think, you know, we got a couple of folks on the committee who feel the same way, and I know that you guys, you know, care about employees too. So that being said, I would hope that you would pass this.
I do have one more public speaker, Mr. David Eisner, if you'd like to come up, and then we'll open up to questions.
Dave Eisner, I asked me, District Council 48. I just wanted to add one more comment to what Penny and Supervisor Biddle had spoken about. When this initially came up, this was something our now retired Public Policy Director, Patty Young, had come up here and spoke about with the Nurses Federation, Candace Ollie. So I just wanted to make the point that this is not only an Ask Me DC 48 issue. This is also a concern by other unions and you know, that have employees represented, you know, with Milwaukee County, not just AFSCME.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, sir. Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. I guess, you know, there are a lot of moving parts here besides us looking at it, labor relations, DAS, I presume the County Executive's Office, Department of Human Resources. What is the timeline, how it's set up? It's been a long time at the city. Is it in lieu of other things, or I mean, how soon can this be set up? Have these other departments like labor relations or human resources, have they been said, you know, this is something we'd like to do, or, and that they kind of said, yeah, this is a pretty good idea, or has anybody else been conferred to besides you putting the resolution together? Would be my first question, please.
No, I'll be the first to say that I did not consult with human resources about this, and that's an oversight of mine, and I apologize. In the city, they passed it in November, and they had their first meeting in January. What the resolution would do was it'll actually come back, I guess, the next board meetings, and the next committee meeting will be in May. Staff will consult with the administration and come back to this committee, whoever's on it, and then talk about, you know, how that draft process went, any other recommendations, any things that need to be tweaked, and then hopefully we'll go forward. So, I mean, it could go as fast or slow as the committee warrants.
Sure, and I guess, you know, that is important, obviously, because if it's going to be successful, you have the parties. Mm-hmm. It takes two sides to tango, as usual here. So to make sure that other people are on board, too. You know, I think of the handbook. Do we know, does City of Milwaukee have a working handbook as far as employee relations are concerned? Does anybody know that answer?
I don't have that information.
Maybe Penny does, Ms. Secor. Because it leads into what I want to ask about, too.
Yes, thank you. Penny Secor, District Council 48, Chair and Supervisors. The City of Milwaukee has a partial handbook. Some of the things they have left exactly for working into the meeting confer. I guess the best thing to put out there is the salary ranges. We have no say over what the salary ranges are for each of the jobs. They consolidated jobs. Nobody lost any pay, but they kind of compressed them for people within the same salary range. And they have taken, for 2012, there is no pay increases. What we are talking about, what's going to happen in 13, how do you progress through those pay scales? Is it by evaluations? Is it by years of service? How do you go move within that range? So some of the work rules are already done. Some of them are being developed through the meet and confer. Some departments have followed just the basic outline that they've had before and are only changing things like one item at a time. Some things that they have done citywide, basically what you did is they went to the 40 hours overtime, not 8 hours in a day. So those kind of rules they put out right in the beginning, but departments are now talking about different work rules and we're involved in that as part of the meet and confer.
Okay. And what I think we desperately need is common language to start with so you have something to meet and confer on. In other words, I mean, I know, and I questioned yesterday Ms. Mitchell, so I don't want to drag her into this because we got other issues involved in the same areas here today. But it seems to me this employee handbook that we've been talking about for a while is absolutely essential. They have a partial in Milwaukee because we want to see what the administration has to say for all of us as far as the future. And I want employees to have a chance to speak to their needs. I mean, we have audit hotline. We have things where, you know, I think employees can speak out. We want to keep that. So people feel free to make sure their departments are doing well and being more efficient. And we want to make sure we don't have rumors spread either that they have no basis. That's the other problem. But maybe this could help in that. But I guess I'm sorry to put Ms. Mitchell on the block a little bit here, but I guess I would ask, would it make sense or how far are we away? I know it's a terribly long and process, and we're making some decisions yesterday and today as far as, you know, how far you go and how much you have to do. But it would seem that if we haven't had any employee kickback, feedback, information into this employee handbook, we're missing a link that should be there because just like when we pass resolutions in any area, if we don't talk to the people who are most affected, we've missed the boat. You know, the neighborhoods that are being most affected by legislation we pass, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? So I think there has to be some kind of pipeline in there. And then... you know, we can move on this. But I think we need to have more study. We need to make sure the parties are going to meet. But I guess I would ask that last question to be done, and that is, do the employees, you know, you have to look at experience, look at other things, but we need this handbook. We need a document that we all can go from, and then we can say, oh, now we got something to look at together. So I would ask that question, please.
Thank you, Chairman and Supervisors. A lot of work is being done on this handbook. There's a team working vigorously on pulling all the components together. Item 11 on the agenda is something that once the board agrees to something along those lines, that is something that must happen for us to finalize the handbook. So it really feeds into it. It's all the provisions from the Ask Me contract and what are the pieces we're proposing keeping and not. So, but a critical part of the process is the employee focus groups that we plan to have as we're winding down and getting the handbook together to talk to them about, is this making sense? What are the key red flags? So that is absolutely our intention, and I think we'd all agree that the more open our communication can be, the better. I think we're all driving toward that, or just multiple ways to get there.
I guess I would have one follow-up, sorry. And the timeline is always crucial here. You know, mm-hmm. We talk about, okay, we like to do everything in May, of course, and we're going to have a new board, new committee, so you know, we kind of have to kind of start all over again anyway, no matter what we do. So... is there any way of giving us some kind of timeline? Is there any way of saying when these employee groups would start? I mean, how long will that process be? You have must have a rough idea of what the timeline would be, and I'd be interested in hearing that, please, too.
Thank you. Our initial plan was to be rolling out a handbook during the month of June, meeting employee meetings, training with managers, and then a full rollout this summer. However, again, that will depend upon what happens with item 11.
Okay, thank you. I'm done. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisor Rice.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that in concept the resolution makes a good deal of sense, and I think we all want to encourage this kind of dialogue among the and between the employer and the employee groups. And as Ms. Mitchell has indicated, and I think as she has written to us in a memo that we'll consider later in the agenda, I think on item 13, this is a process that is evolving and is, in fact, a part of what I understand to be the department's approach going forward. She has indicated to us later on that the county is establishing a communications policy that outlines the importance of managers and employees maintaining open lines of communications, especially as concerns arise. It will outline the multiple options employees have to resolve workplace problems. So I think that what the resolution attempts to do is, in fact, something that's in process by HR, and I think perhaps some meeting and conferring with HR might have addressed some of the issues that are a part of the intent of the resolution. The other important part here, though, is that we are in a brave new world with respect to the relationship between, you know, the employer and employee groups, and we've got to be mindful of the new regulations and statutes governing that that the state legislature has adopted in the past couple of years. And these are not some of these areas are not, you know, permissive subjects of bargaining anymore. They're or mandatory. They are, in fact, prohibited subjects of bargaining. And so before, I think we were to adopt a procedure or a process, we'd want to make sure that we are in proper compliance with the new state statutes. And so I think in addition to HR, I think Corporation Council needs to be conferred with and weigh in on this. And I'd make a motion, Mr. Chairman, that the matter be referred to Corporation Council for a written opinion to make sure that the intent of the resolution is in compliance with state statute.
Thank you, Supervisor. We have a motion from Supervisor Rice to refer to Corporation Council. Supervisor Lipscomb.
On the motion.
Yes, on the motion. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would disagree with the premise of the statement, which is that this is getting into areas that are prohibited subjects of bargaining. This is not collective bargaining. The balance of power remains with the county board. At the end of the day, meet and confer doesn't mean you have to accept what you've been told, or the council, or the... whether you believe what you've been told is wise or unwise will be your decision. And it's just a process by which you're going to get information, you're going to get feedback and a sense of what your employees think on a topic. And I think it's an important process. Now, if there's concern about how what the legal boundaries are or how we need to go about this, I'd be happy to amend the Be It Resolved clause to include Corp Counsel. But what we have in this resolution is a resolution setting up a process by which we would have the departments come back to us with a formalized process. So rather than just leaving it up to the department informally, or trusting that they will create something that we accept, this is formalizing that, saying that we want all these departments to be involved in setting something up, and that we want that process to come back to us for review, and that we would set something up that we could all agree on. So. I don't have a problem with Corp Counsel's participation in this, but I don't think that it needs to be delayed with the referral to Corp Counsel on its own. If they can be included in this as part of this process, and this would come back to us, I would. If the referral fails, I would also offer an amendment changing the date to just a technical amendment, changing it to the May 2012 cycle.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Borkowski, anything on the motion?
Okay.
Supervisor Haas on the motion?
No, thank you, sir.
Okay. All right. We do have a motion by Supervisor Rice to refer to Corporation Counsel. Is there any other comment or questions by the committee? Hearing none, please call a roll on the motion to refer.
Borkowski?
Aye.
Schmidt?
No.
Cesars?
Aye.
Rice?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
No.
Haas?
No.
Mr. Cheer?
Aye.
4 ayes, 3 noes. The motion to refer to Corp Counsel is approved.
Thank you.